I'm in the studio today with someone who realized after we began that it would probably be better for his career if we kept his identity hidden. So when I introduce him, you're going to hear some static instead. It's not your imagination, it's just protecting a paycheck. Also, stick around, because later, you're going to hear a familiar voice.
This is the Epic New Podcast, Two Idiots and a List, where you're going to get two idiots and a list. And now, coming to you live from Circle Avenue Studios, your hosts, Nick Fasolo and Kyrick McMillan.
All right, we're back again. Unfortunately, it's just me today. Well, not just me, but Nick is not here. Nick had another commitment that he couldn't get out of, and because of a special circumstance for this specific episode, we had to get it in under the wire before something else happened. So Nick is not here, and to be fair, he's not that big a fan of the band we're talking about today anyhow. So instead, I have with me the great.
Right, thanks. The great. Hi, how you doing, world?
So, Steve is a long-time friend of both Nick and I, and the reason that we've brought him in and wanted to talk to him today is because today we are talking about the Grateful Dead. Always been tied to this band since I've known you.
I was born into it. I'm second generation. I had no chance.
When was your first introduction that you can think of?
Diapers, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my dad saw the Dead in 70 and I was born in 71. So
okay.
I was screwed from the beginning.
Right, right. And you've seen these guys a lot.
I've seen 86 Dead shows. I never counted fully Jerry, but Jerry was around 20-somethings, Bobby's, Furthers, things like that. So definitely over 100 total of them and whatnot, but never enough.
including Dead & Company, or is that just...
Dead & Company's different. That's yeah. On top.
Right. Know,
but Grateful Dead, 86, from when I go back through Dead Base.
Yeah.
Count them up, yeah.
That's a lot of shows.
It's not enough.
I think your total concert list ticks something considerably higher than that. Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah. I had when everybody else was in college and I was working, Friday nights it was Aragon or, you know, The Riv or something. So I saw bands every week constantly. And that's what I wanted to do, was go into sound. And
400 shows? 500 shows?
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen 400 concerts easy.
That's pretty good. I think my total's up around 100. So you've gotten me beat.
You gotta go. You gotta go see music. It's the most important thing.
So I have always tied this band to you. You were my first introduction to it. I saw him for the first time, and I think it was 92.
It was at Rosemont Horizon.
Yes.
It was 92?
Or 93. 93.
I was taping. So I remember I was in the pit, and you and came by.
No, he wasn't with me at that show, and we don't mention him on this show.
Oh, well, strike that. Edit.
He has requested that we do not mention his name. So there'll be a little air conditioner fuzz effect over that. If you're wondering what happened.
What happened there? I thought that was your first one because I remember you got a dark star. And I was like, you son of a bitch, your first show and you get a dark star?
Yeah, and that was my first show, but he wasn't with me. I was with other guys that I went to school with.
Okay.
So you're talking about taping. Mm-hmm. I saw a note that they began allowing tapers in 1984. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I have friends who were... They were rolling digital back in like 81, 82.
Right.
A big beta deck. So those guys were doing it even before then. And then they made it official. I'm not sure on the actual dates and stuff. I'm no historian, but I mean, it's great that they did. It's the best marketing like any band could ever
put together. Oh, it's fantastic.
You know,
I mean. I think the studios pushed back on them because, in fact, I saw one note that they owed somebody, and I don't remember what label they were under, but they owed them like $100,000 for recording time. Because the albums didn't sell.
No.
The Deadheads didn't want them. They wanted the live tapes. And they promoted that because they figured if we get people sharing tapes, it's going to get people into this band who had never heard them before. And they're going to go to the show and maybe they'll tape. And then they'll take those tapes and pass them on to their friends. And it grew incredibly.
I mean, that's how I started, you know, obviously hearing it from my dad in the car all the time. But then I would steal his tapes, clone his tapes, and then start working my own angles with people trying to trade back in college and stuff. And
right.
That was, if you had a box of 20 of something, you know, like, it was great. And plus, then when I'd go on tour and tape shows on tour, it was the best way to get a free hotel, you know, because, listen, I let me and my friend crash on the floor, and I'll roll you some tapes. I got cassettes and another deck, and I would spin copies for people, and that's how you got a free place to stay.
Is this where you used to bring a bar of soap into the pool and use the pool as a bathtub? I seem to remember a story.
Yeah, but, I mean, what was it? Fa? It was the Swedish Fa soap or something? I don't know.
So it's natural.
It was all dissipate. Natural. Yeah, you know. You dive in, you get out, you lather up, and then you just dive back in.
So, speaking of the Dead and Company, yeah. You and I just saw them, what was that, about a month or two ago?
30th, 31st, and 1st of June.
Of June. We saw them at the Sphere. Mm-hmm. An unreal musical experience. Like nothing I've ever seen before, and I don't think I'll probably see again.
Well,
unless I see another show at the Sphere.
It's spring. They'll be back in the spring.
Are they doing another run?
It's a 3-year deal, yeah.
I'm going to have to consider that next series because I have to be in Vegas 3 times next year for work. My wife and I like to go with Nick and his wife, and that would make 4. And if I go to this Dead show, that would be 5 times in Vegas, which is about 4 times too many.
Yeah, yeah. Vegas is...
Oof, it's a lot.
It's a dry heat.
Yes.
Like an oven.
It's a dry heave.
Yeah. Yeah, that Sphere thing is pretty insane and intense and very fun.
So to me, Dead shows were an alternate reality for many reasons, obviously. But it was like different from any other concert I had seen up to that point. And for those of you who haven't seen this band, if you look at your favorite artist and you look at their set list from date after date after date on the same tour, there's a really strong likelihood that 95% or more of the set list, in some cases 100%, is exactly the same from show to show to show to show. Whereas the Grateful Dead, I'd seen it on a number of different sites that cited this, and I don't know if it was actually verified, but no set list has ever been the same.
Yeah.
That would be a pretty big claim considering how many times they've toured, but when you've got a catalog as deep as they do, it's entirely possible that they've never played the exact same set list. And even if they did, there's no way that the songs would be the same.
No, yeah, they're different. And I mean, I could swear there was 94. When they were playing I Fought the Law a lot, I could swear there was 2 shows in a row where they encored with it. And it was like, what the hell? It was like day job in the 80s. Like, no, not I Fought the Law again. But 2 nights in a row, if I'm not mistaken, I'm probably mistaken. But it's one of those memories I have from touring where it was like some songs, like they'd always play a certain song for an encore or something. It was always like I Fought the Law,
yeah,
for whatever reason. And at least it's a memory.
Sure.
It's probably not a good memory.
Now you know why they call it dope.
Yeah, hey.
They don't call it smart.
Oh, by the way, I had a statement I wanted to read.
Go ahead, please.
Everything that you're hearing is performance art. Anything I say is possibly not real and probably not real. Anything I may say I did or ingested is probably performance art.
just in case the authorities are listening.
Or if I could become an officer of a company at some point very soon.
Well, I can also go back and take your name out of the introduction.
There we go.
We'll just call you, we'll call you Phil Lesh from here on out.
The director of research.
So if that happens, if you hear the show and I introduce him to air conditioner fuzz, then you'll know why we did that. Speaking of altered states,
yes.
It is a thing I do on our show whenever we have a guest in the studio, that we have a beverage.
Oh.
I can offer you Lagavulin or Cosamigos tequila.
Try the tequila. I brought something myself, too.
Enjoy.
Is it okay down here?
Please.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That is damn tasty.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we've gotten the formality of a good stiff drink underway, let's start it up. You are the guest. I'll let you pick. Would you like to start him off, or would you like me to start him off?
I would like you to start it off.
All right. In that case, we're going to start with my honorable mention, which is Sugaree.
Just one thing I ask of you. Just one thing for me. Please forget you knew my name, my darling Sugaree.
As you're going to hear with a lot of the songs I've picked, and probably a lot of the songs you've picked, I'm guessing, I don't know, but just given the prolific way in which he wrote, Robert Hunter is responsible for a lot of the songs that are on my list.
He's phenomenal. I mean, I think Bob Dylan called him the greatest songwriter of the generation.
His lyrics are great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
They're a little hard to interpret sometimes in terms of what he's exactly shooting for, but not in a way that's like bad poetry.
But it leaves it for open interpretation.
Completely open to interpretation. And I really like that about him. He'll even come out and say on rare occasions he's come out and explained or talked about what the lyrics meant. But you also kind of look at what he's writing and go, okay, that's what he meant, but I get something out of this that's a little different.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool about his writing.
A song can be something different as you age. It changes.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning can be totally different, and your perspective's different when you hear it. You're like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this song's different for me now, you know? So that's what's great about it.
Totally.
God, I love Hunter.
You know, there's something about this song that I really kind of dug. It has that kind of cool groove, and you're going to hear me probably say that about many of the songs on my list. Hunter said the song was prompted by a deviant he was hanging out with, some like low-level criminal. And this was before he was hanging out with the dead.
Well, you know, everybody has a checkered past.
As they were parting ways, apparently the guy told him, "Don't mention my name," which is part of that lyric that's in the song.
There we go.
And then he came afterwards and he said, "The song, as I imagined it, is addressed to a pimp."
Well, bring me my sugar, I guess. I mean, give me my money. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that one I couldn't make that tie to, but it's what he came out and said.
Sugary's one of those good Jerry feelers where he can really get emotional into it when he really rips it. It's
When Jerry really amps up and hits it well, oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I also like Phil Lesh's bass line in this song. Lesh is kind of an underserved hero for this band, I think.
I think he's the best musician initially in the band.
I think you're right.
Off the bat, for sure.
I think you're right. Although I have to say, and this, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, my favorite guitarist of all time is David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. I put Garcia in my top 10. Not necessarily from skill, but from style, and not necessarily in his later years, as you know, we both saw that series of shows at Soldier Field, which ended up being his last in 95, and he wasn't good.
Yeah, it was rough. In fact, I didn't go to the second to last show. I was on that tour, and it was a rough tour. Got home to Chicago. I didn't go to the penultimate show. But then a buddy called and was like, I got a ticket. You got to finish the tour. Come on, get out here. So I came out, taped the show. And yeah, it was kind of like, well, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
I did go to that second to last show.
Oh,
It was okay.
All right. Well, we covered it then.
There you go. Someone was on.
You know what happened two nights later?
Do I?
That was the infamous Pearl Jam.
Oh.
With the show in front of us.
Where,
that was two nights they were using the dead stage.
Where the concert goers in front of us were inspired to consummate their relationship during whatever song it was. I don't remember, but I just remember you grabbing me by the arm and pointing down, and we looked down at her.
Looking at us.
Looking up while she's riding him.
I still maintain, had those chuckleheads a couple seats over not started screaming about it, I think I might have had a shot. Of her leaning a little too forward over.
You give her the Roman soldier helmet.
Here you go. Take this. Yeah. Yeah, that last show, I remember it was like kind of a bummer, but well, we'll see. Garcia's going to get clean. And then we heard he was going into rehab, and I was like, oh shit, fall. All right, cool. Maybe a truncated fall tour and then good winter tour, New Year's.
Alas.
But alas.
Alas, that didn't happen.
C'est la vie.
All right, what is your honorable mention?
Honorable mention can be a billion of them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and that was another point I wanted to bring up. It's like, I actually, while in my altered state last night, while doing research, basically just jamming tunes, I don't know, I said you can't pick five.
It's tough.
Some other stupid stuff, but...
it's tough. Especially with this band. There's a lot of bands that Nick and I have done where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm really kind of scratching to get five out of this. For the Dead, I had a list that's way longer than five.
Right, yeah. And that was the other... That's the thing for me as well. So, I mean, let's throw China Cat in there.
Walking jingle in the midnight sun. Don't boat it, drip for silver. Come on out like a train. We'll start down through a dream night wind.
I love the direction that song can go. It can go so many different ways, and it can go into a bunch of different things, which is something that Dead didn't do that often. Almost always went into Rider, but I like it's, you know, Dead and Company isn't the Dead, but I like that they're changing and updating and keep evolving the music, so you'll get like China into like Fire or something.
Yes.
You know, like whoa, wait, that, you know, and I think back on that, like, well, I think the Dead may have done that once or twice, but like, it was such an outlier. But like, here they're throwing different songs together. So I really like the jump off point of China Cat. I mean, it can go, like you say, you can get really psychedelic in it, or you can just ram right through it, you know, and chug along. That's the other part is like, there's different versions of the songs that are like, you know, like, I don't like this Tennessee Jed, but I love this Tennessee Jed. You know, like, there's that type of thing. That's where it's just confusing as hell, because it's also, how are you feeling today? You know, are you, what do you want to listen to? Are you up for, you know, down? You want some Hurtin' Jerry ballads, or do you want, you know, something ripping roaring? You know, like, you want to get psychedelic, Primal Dead? Like,
a lot of variability.
That's the thing I love the most, too, is like, there's just so much there. It's never the same.
Right.
Right. Improvisation allows for constant crashing. So, like, I think I mentioned you guys in the text, like, I like small things. I can go 2-3 shows and not really hear anything that blows me away, but then, like, for two bars or something where something happens, whoa, that's interesting, or wow.
And that's what makes this band tough to do our format. When we've done our episodes, we're looking at almost entirely studio recorded music, where the song is the same that you're listening to and that I'm listening to. With these guys, the song is only the same if one of us calls out which recording it came from, which show, which year. And that's kind of the beauty and challenge of it, is you could hear a song like China Cat 10 different times or from 10 different shows, and every one of them is different. And you might only like 1 out of 10, or you might like 9 out of 10. And I think of, when I was making this list, I was thinking of how I've reacted to the songs when I've heard them live. I know that every time I've seen it, when they've happened to have played one of the songs on my list, I'm like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, everybody has their song they want to catch.
Yeah.
That's like the big thing. Oh, what do you got? Oh, I gotta hear these three.
Man. Yeah. Right.
I'm still waiting for my monkey and the engineer. Still wait. Acoustic, too. They're not going to get it.
Hold on.
But I'm working.
You never know.
I'm trying, man. I sent O'Teal some shirts, buddy, if you get them. There's a little note.
All right. My number 5, I'm going to go with Franklin's Tower.
Ooh.
Tell me when the phones came. Franklin's Tower, there has been. And it can ring, turn the match key. Ring like fire if you lose your way. Roll away, the dew. Roll away, the dew.
Roll away the dew, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Those up-tempo jams just get rocking.
Another Hunter song, and he explains some of these lyrics. Wildflower seed on the sand and stone, may the four winds blow you safely home. And the explanation here I really liked. You might find yourself in a place where you're not going to flourish. The hope is that whatever took you to that place will go ahead and pick you up and take you somewhere fertile. The groove of this song with those lyrics in it, I dig how that plays out.
Yeah. Franklin's is one of those where you can just get bopping and going, and you're really into it. But the lyrics and whatnot, it's the great thing about all the tunes, really. The lyrics can just be like, woo, party, sing along. Yeah. Everybody's singing along. But when you stop or if you read them and you sit back, that's where it can really catch you. You're like, ooh. There's a lot more here, man. That's the great thing about Hunter. He was so well-read, just a smart dude, that he could take these obscure references through humanity's timeline, drop them in, and they remain up to date. A lot of the songs they sing, you know, I always call them the greatest cover band ever.
Yeah.
Because all, you know, half tons the songs
of
are covers.
Tons
or
of covers.
They're American songbook standards.
Yeah.
Because Jerry was a standards guy. I mean, He, you know, his dad was, you know, playing stuff, and he's like a 40s, 50s songbook guy.
One of my favorite songs of theirs that they do, and it's not on my list because it is so obviously a cover, but Me and Bobby McGee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
With them windshield wipers slapping time, Bobby clapping hand, we finally sang, hear every song that drives.
Amazing, you know, when they're rocking that, it's unbelievable. They own it.
Yeah,
but it's not theirs.
No, know, Dancing in the Streets, same thing, right?
Yeah, like,
you know, they've got some great cover songs.
Give me some of that Disco Dead.
Oh, I love the Disco Dead.
Dead.
I love
dancing.
The Disco Dead. All right, what is your number 5?
All right, I gotta wake up here. I'm gonna go with The Wheel.
Round, 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 round.
love that it's sort of like, you know, I say it, but like, don't give up, you know, keep going,
right?
Try a little harder, just keep, you know.
I'm gonna stop you right there because I have to go up and tell my nephews to stop kicking whatever they're kicking because these mics are gonna pick it up.
Wildebeests, possibly.
Oh goodness!
All right, now while I've got you alone, as he walks away, much too quickly for my taste. I wish he'd walk slower because I get a longer view. Ooh, tequila. I don't drink, but I'll drink tequila. My medication every 20 minutes.
I'm supposed to. I understand.
Doctor's rules. Oh no.
All right. I dealt with Stillwell Angel.
A can of whoop ass, huh?
Sorry, you were talking about the wheel. Please.
Yes, the wheel. Just the positive. I'm positively coughing.
More tequila to wash it down?
No, thank you. No. I was jamming it actually last night. Well, my moments in it. The affirmation of continuing to try and just keep going, and it's hopeless or whatever, but just keep trying. Never give up, that type of thing. It's such a basic concept type thing. You know, like never stop, just keep going and all this, but I really like it how it is. And even though it just kind of at the end kind of keeps repeating through it, I like that section where you just keep going on. And like after like, you know, six times, humans will remember most things
right
perfectly. So you get about 7-8 in there and then, you know, you're good. I also like the way it's played. The record version with Billy playing his drumsticks on Jerry's strings, like,
yeah,
that's so
cool. So cool. It's a really neat effect,
yeah,
and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so I, for that respect, I really like the wheel.
Yeah. All right, we're at my number four. I got to go with a little more disco here.
Oh.
We're doing a little Shakedown Street.
Ooh.
Super funky disco dead. You know, the wah effects that they have on the low-pitched rhythm guitar, especially with that high-pitched, straight out of Shaft guitar going over the top of it. Oh, it's great. And it's a super simple riff. It's three notes on a minor scale. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that's all it is. But it works. The lyrics are great. Maybe you had too much too fast or just overplayed your part.
And that's one of those meanings that everybody who's had a little too much too fast
yes,
understands.
Knows exactly what he's talking about. Absolutely. I also like the line, don't tell me this town ain't got no heart when I can hear it beat out loud.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Know, sometimes you got to poke around.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to, you know, go off the beaten path and look around.
Yeah.
You know, in the 80s, it was all, you know, it was buttoned up and it was like, we're getting serious and straight-laced as a country, but the dead are out there running around. And it was like Jer said, it's like the last little bastion of mischief and like danger in America.
Yeah.
You know, you can get on the road and disappear for a week
Yeah.
You know, and hang with this weird tribe, you know, and it's a completely different world and timeline, and everything is different, you know.
So you and I used to work together, and it's probably a good thing that we decided to change careers, because we were typewriter cleaners.
Yes, yeah.
We cleaned, we're not shitting you.
Office machines.
Yes, we cleaned typewriters. That was an actual job.
The Selectric 2.
The IBM Selectric 2, yes.
Wheelwriter 4.
I'll tell you this, part of our cleaning job was to make sure the keys all worked.
Oh, yeah.
And so I typed "the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog" so many times that I'm actually a pretty good typist right now.
I can't look away terribly, but like I did the ABCs, like in like 6 seconds, I could do the ABCs and... I don't know where things are. Yeah. Right? It was a good job.
But I remember you would like bail for like 2 or 3 weeks. You'd be like, I'm going on tour.
I gotta go.
And so how long was like the longest you went on tour?
Let's see. 93 maybe? I mean, I had the bus by then.
Yes, I love the bus. The bus had its own little kitchenette.
81 VW Vanagon GL, California. Really clean. Of course, it had no heater tube, but who needs heat?
So, side note to the audience, when Luke and I would go out on a Friday night after a week of work, would park his car in front of my house, and then my parents, you know, when they got up the next morning, would be like, it's still out there. It's noon. And it's 100 degrees outside.
I had a gallon of water in the fridge.
And there, you know, it's all buttoned up in the Vanagon.
Yeah.
Wow. The US bus, we called it.
Yeah, the US bus. And the great thing about that, you just park and sleep.
Right. I think you made soup for us once when we played football.
Yeah, that was the turkey bowl. I ate a halftime chicken noodle.
Anybody want some soup?
Who wants some soup?
Sure. It's cold as balls out here.
Hey, well, you got a stove. You might as well use it, right? Oh, I love that thing. So, like, 93, I did, like, most of summer. I'd have to look at, like, the tour listing, I guess, but...
You weren't with the business machine company anymore by that point, were you?
No, I was there for a little while longer.
And they just were like, yeah, sure, you can take 3 months off. Weren't you the delivery guy by that point?
Oh, when of course. I'm trying to think. Actually, I think, it had to be right around in there. Yeah, okay. 93, 94. Probably 93, because I was like, I'm out of here for like 20 shows. I got to go. Be gone for 3 weeks. That ain't going to work. Well, it's going to have to.
So I have another funny story about that job. We had a map book. And at one point, you were the delivery guy, and I was still relegated to cleaning typewriters because I wasn't full-time. I was only working there in the summers. And you had the much better map book. I got stuck with the shitty map book because cell phones didn't exist, or if they did, you couldn't pull up a map on them.
Like Garmin was like a grand.
Yeah, this was like 91, maybe-ish. So before... Excuse me. Before the company executive that I'm sitting here with left and departed the facility, I needed to verify an address. And so he was still parked out front with the engine running.
No, don't.
And I went out, opened the passenger door. I'm like, hey, I need the map. Like, wait. I pick up the map. I'm like, what? And I pick up the map book, and sure enough, there is an instrument for the consumption of the devil's lettuce happily hiding underneath the map book.
Listen, man, I just go to Burger King, get a little okay, and then I'd sit at Burger King for a while and eat.
Have a nice sandwich or whatever they were.
And they had those little circular hash nuggets or whatever.
That left that coating of grease in your throat that you couldn't shed for like 4 hours.
No, but it was a good lubricant for the way out.
Gross.
And half the audience.
All right. What's your number 4?
All right, so this is a little different. So I'm going to go with Terrapin, but like the whole thing.
And the girl is standing there. fans for paying for fish. She takes for fans for fish. And I lost in.
Because that's the other thing about the Dead is it's sort of like suites of songs in some respects, like Weather Report Suite.
Sure.
You've got a series of different jams and songs within a longer construct of a thing. So.
And that was your license plate forever.
My current license
plate. Is it still your license plate? All right, good. You've held on to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the car goes away on Tuesday or Wednesday, and the plates will go in the garbage. So
you can't throw those plates away. You got to save those.
Actually, I did dump one old pair, but I still have the real one. I got the current, so I could
get it. Yes, our esteemed guest is going to be leaving us for a foreign country here coming this week, which is why we had to squeeze in this recording, and Nick isn't here. So, anyhow.
Nick, that guy's a waste. He's dragging you down. That's horrible.
Deadpan. No humor.
The worst. It's like, seriously, like he's a top five worst person I've ever met. I love you, boo.
All right. My number three. I'm going with Bertha.
Ooh. That's the first song I ever heard live.
Had a feeling I was falling. Turned around to see.
Ran into a rainstorm, ducked into a bar door. It was all night pouring rain, but not a drop on me. That's a great bit of poetry right there.
Yeah.
Although there's a lot of people, and in fact, I think the dead.net, their official website, actually has the lyrics listed as ducked into Novato. It was a city in the Bay Area where I think they lived for a while.
Yeah, one of those probably little commune house things they were doing, because they were bouncing all around different places, different ranches.
So I have a feeling that they probably switched that lyric up as they went through time.
Things did. Yeah, things can change up a little here or there. But
another Hunter song, or at least Hunter lyrics. Test me, why don't you arrest me?
Throw me in the jailhouse, babe.
There was a rumor out there that Bertha was the name of a fan in their studio that would run around and cut people's fingers off. This is what drugs can do to you.
Yeah. Hunter, I mean, I've seen some things, but I haven't seen that.
No. Hunter said that's not true. He said it's some vague connotation of birth, death, and reincarnation. I don't remember. Which I think sums up probably a lot of what Hunter has written. I mean, if he really had to put a gun to his head and tell you the truth, I don't know that he would actually know what all these songs meant. Who knows?
Just kind of let the muse flow through him and put it out there. Right. And
it's like, when we did our Elton John podcast, Bertie Taupin said, I can't tell you what, a very big song, and I'm blanking on what it is, but one of the big songs that Elton had, he has no idea what it's about and doesn't remember writing it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it happens.
The 70s,
Yeah, right?
It happens.
Time.
It's a thing. That's the first song I ever saw live. First show I went to, Papa took me, of course.
And how old?
Let's see, let me do the math. I was 11, because that was, okay, June 27, 83, Poplar Creek, no longer with us.
Loved Poplar Creek.
Poplar Creek, Freak at the Creek. And I specifically remember, and I wrote something on archive on the show, my remembrance of it, but Bertha's playing, and I'm like, I know this song, cool, I'm dancing, and I'm, oh my damn, there's a naked girl over there dancing. Yeah, whatever, okay.
But she's got really hairy armpits.
Yeah, like, what's, I don't care. She's got those are spooky. But I do remember during Bertha coming at the end of it or whatever, it rained all day. Like, it was a muddy day, and we're in the lawn, right?
Yeah.
So it's a muddy lawn. And the main aisle is just a mud
slide
now, And dudes are running and sliding and, like, surfing down the freaking hill. And one guy runs into another dude, and it was like the guy's carrying beers. And beers go everywhere up in the air and shower, you know. And
right.
Like, oh, that's my first memory of a Grateful Dead song live in the stands. Like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. And a show.
I remember this as being one of the better songs that John Mayer covers as Jerry Garcia with Dead and Company.
Yeah, he's a... So I went and saw them in 2015, obviously at Fairly Well. And then after that, I went and saw Dead and Company in Columbus. Yeah, drove out to Columbus to see him in like November or something. And the first thing I thought of is... Okay, it's a little bit Grateful Dead in Review,
yeah.
Which I don't like at all.
A little greatest hits.
Yeah, well, or and just kind of like, it's not flowing, right? It's like we've practiced and we're playing these songs. Like it's like they're the that fucking Tom Hanks movie band.
You know? Oh yeah, The Thing You Do.
It's like it was almost like they were put together, but it just didn't feel right. But there were glimpses and like, oh well, he can just rip it on all the blues tunes. Let him play viola, you know.
Yeah.
Like, fucking go, man, go. Yeah.
Crazy good guitarist.
Yeah, oh, he's fantastic. Now, and I was not negative against him by any means. I just was curious what it was going to be like. I am so happy that he's just gone through. You can hear such differences through them and as they're playing. I have probably listened to every Dead and Company show, except for the Sphere shows. I haven't heard all those, obviously, because those are kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
But overall... everything up till then, and you can clearly hear him figuring it out as he goes along, and yeah, he's fantastic.
All right, what is your number three?
I'm gonna go with Saint Stephen.
Saint Stephen with a rose sitting out of the garden goes. Country God in the wind and the rain. Wherever he goes, the people all complain. Even prosper in his time. Well, it may and it may decline. Will it matter? Does it now? Stephen will answer if he only knew how.
I love Saint Stephen. Such a great jam.
I can't play guitar at all, but I can play the very beginning of Silent Lucidity. And that... That's about it. There's my two guitar parts.
Silent Lucidity. Nick would have chimed in happily here. This is where he would have stepped in.
Finally, a connection.
I know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, Saint Stephen, man. Just a ripper. My dad used to, I named you after the song. And then I found out his middle name is Stephen.
Sneaky. How did your dad get into... So your dad, is he... How old's your dad?
Do the math. 75?
Is he that old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. 49?
So how did he pick up the Dead?
So this is the story I was told. Him and like two buddies they're in the city. They're going to see a band. Right? So they're already going to see somebody. And they're walking down the street. And some guy in front of the Syndrome, they were going like to the Kinetic Playground to see somebody. And this guy at the Syndrome's like, yo, or wherever they were whatever. They walk by, and the guy's like, yo, you need to see this band. You three guys need to come in and see this band. They're from California. It's Grateful Dead. And they're like, oh, yeah, kind of, yeah. They didn't know. They're like, come on, just come in. And they're like, well, we got tickets or whatever. So he lets the three of them in for free. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the timelines line up, but it was Parrish, Steve Parrish,
who was
like their guy at the time. Yeah. So he like drew them in. My dad says there was about 200 people max.
Yeah.
And they wandered up in front of the stage. He can't remember, and I keep asking him, and he's like, oh, man. But he said he was right up in front of the stage, and he and Garcia traded some jokes because they would tell jokes between songs occasionally, and they were joking back and forth. And I'm like, what was the joke you told him? He's like, I don't remember anything. But what I do remember was the alligator. And he says that's a song that got him, and he was just instantly hooked and was like, oh shit. And then they came back in like February or March, and he brought like 12 friends.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was like, oh, well, here's a pot of Deadheads now, you know?
Right.
No tape of that show exists.
That's
unless
too bad.
Somebody could time travel back and get it for me.
I'd say someone from our audience could, but you've got far greater reach with your network than I do with ours,
yeah,
especially since Universal took us off. Fuckers.
I talked to, I think Charlie Miller told me that they weren't, nobody was recording because if I'm not mistaken, Bear was in jail at that time or something, so nobody was recording. Bummer. I want to hear that alligator, you know?
All right, so this brings us to our fantasy concert lineup.
Yeah.
All right, so here's where I'm at with the fantasy concert lineup. To me, the Grateful Dead excels, and I think you'll agree, and anybody that knows this band will agree, they excel at being a live band.
Yes.
Performance is where you get pulled in by them. So I've got three bands, in fact, mm-hmm. who are great live bands, and I think better than their studio recordings. Now, you and I have seen at least two of these bands together. At least, well, one of them I know together. I think we might have seen a second one together. And I don't know if you've seen the third or not. So, actually, we'll start with the third.
Hard with anticipation.
Not right?
Yes.
We'll start with the third that I don't know if you've seen or not, and I don't think we've seen together, and that's Phish.
Oh, I've seen Phish.
When they shoot you, say, please don't do that. Control the smiles can't be bought. The sword of garlic starts to rot. Was it for this my life I saw it? Maybe so, maybe not. Maybe so, maybe not.
One and a half times. The first time I saw them, rain came and they shut down. They didn't play a second set, and I was blamed by my friends for your first show and this happens? You can't come back. Oh, wait, no. And then I saw them twice. I saw them twice at Deer Creek a couple years back, the buddy of mine.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them one and a half times as well. Ooh. And maybe it was the same show.
Were you at the down city?
Northerly Island?
Yeah, Northerly Island.
I think they actually came back and played that night. I was there with He Who Shall Not Be Named. Mm. And both of us, like, we were trying to figure out some way to keep our cell phones from getting soaked. Because that was rain.
Oh, yeah.
That was nothing short of biblical.
Oh, I had an interesting evening that night. I got a...
Do go on.
I believe I got dosed, and I was not expecting it.
So you unintentional dosed.
Unintentional.
You got roofied.
I got roofied, if you will. I remember, as we were all leaving, here's my friends, and I got, like, caught in the human wave of people, and they went one way, and I was like, help, help,
wait,
help, going the other way. It took me like 2 hours to get back to the car. And in that rain with it pouring and my phone like not working.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I got in somebody else's car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. So that was my first Phish show.
Yeah. So I remember when Phish kind of took popularity, I remember taking some umbrage at them thinking that they were ripping off the Dead. And as I listened to them more and sort of forgave them that they allowed taping, which was obviously a very Dead thing, I realized that they're not really a jam band. I mean, they do go into jams, but when you look at the Dead are really a folk kind of Americana band.
Mm-hmm.
Phish are quite a bit more proggy.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more mathematical.
Yeah.
I'm not a giant fan of theirs, but I do like some of their songs, and I did enjoy seeing them live.
I had fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I liked some of their stuff. I liked them a lot more when they were Van Morrison. That's a joke from my buddy E.
Gotcha.
However, the long play, they did release a song a couple years back, which was like, there's a direct like lift of a Van Morrison song.
Is it?
Yeah, I'll have to get it and tell you.
I just heard an interview. I don't know if you listen to Mark Maron. He's got
a podcast.
So he interviewed Trey Anastasio.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. Trey Anastasio got into quite a bit of trouble with some pretty heavy drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And got busted for possession and ended up doing a little bit of time and ended up, like, they took 2 or 3 years off the tour and never really announced why. And it turns out it was because he had to do a small amount of time, but it was more like, I think, like, maybe a week or two or a couple of days even, but he was on sort of a house arrest thing where he had to stay within the area and then do work release and whatnot. And he's clean now. And it's actually a really interesting interview.
So. Yeah, it's weird to think, but I kind of clued in on it last night while researching. But, like, yeah, sobriety is, like, a lot of fun.
You've smoked grass throughout this discussion, so it's okay to say you were stoned.
Oh, I wasn't smoking grass last night.
Ah, okay.
I'd be a really fun guy. Just hanging out by my, you know, just doing things, listening to music.
All right, so my next band that, again, great live band. I actually like their studio stuff, but a fantastic live band. We're going to see the Allman Brothers.
Oh, yes.
Got me trapped with woman on that second floor. If I get by this time, I won't be trapped no more, no. Raise your window, baby. Now slip up on the floor. Know your neighbors, no, they won't be caught in that mess that they don't know.
Somewhere in my, right now, my oldest and I are going through about 1,000 CDs of bootlegs because I never really got around to it.
Right.
And somewhere in there is like, I think it was 96, Allman's at the Riviera in Chicago, those 6 nights they did.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I was so jealous that you got to go see all of those. Great. I couldn't get tickets to it. I've seen them 2 times, I want to say. And now they're dead. Well, many of them are dead.
Many are not with us.
Right.
Oh, that was great. 3 nights of the Almonds, the middle night, Bruce Hornsby. Then 3 nights of the Almonds.
Bruce Hornsby's great live.
Oh, yeah.
You and I saw him at House of Blues.
Yeah.
About 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We also saw The Band. Another great band. Yeah. Ooh, I should have put that on
there.
There
you go, see?
But I have a third band.
Okay.
And you're going to like this. Right. This is a band we've seen together.
All right.
The Band. Is Little Feet.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Another one. Just like the other one. You've been holding on to it. And I sure would like it. That joint, my friend, pass it over to me. Don't hold that joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
So you and I saw this band at a festival, I think it was, in Naperville. We've seen him multiple times, but this one instance I'm thinking of, we saw him at a thing in Naperville, which is a west suburb of Chicago, and one of Little Feet's songs is Don't Bogart That Joint. Now, this show, which we happened to be maybe 15 or 20 feet from the stage, it wasn't super densely packed, but it was well attended. Mm-hmm. The show was sponsored by DARE, the old DARE to keep kids off drugs thing.
Yep.
And they start playing Don't Bogart That Joint. And somebody very close to the stage, and it wasn't one of us, God knows we wouldn't be giving that away.
I was taping the show.
Were you?
Yeah, it was.
Would you have your trucker's hat on with the microphones hidden in there?
I had the little. I think I had the Sennheiser MKE2s at the time.
Nice. Ooh, it just moved.
The DAT, right to the DAT.
So they start playing the song, and somebody throws a rather large joint on the stage, and Paul Barrere, I believe his name is, the lead singer. Leans, looks at the joint, lands at his feet, looks at it, bends down, picks it up, smells it, and then looks to his left and off, like, not really off stage because we could see him, was a massive dude who is obviously a cop, wearing a bright white polo that has dare, you know, a dare thing over it, over one of the breasts. And he is taking his hands and scissoring them back and forth under his neck going, no, no, no. Paul Bereri looks at the joint again, looks back at the dude, and turns around and puts it on the keyboard of the keyboard player and goes back to playing the song. Well, the keyboard player is in the middle of playing, and he stops what he's doing, picks up the joint, smells it, opens up his shirt pocket, drops it in there, pats his chest, and goes on playing. Fantastic.
I'll dispose of this properly.
Yeah, right.
I'll take care of this. I've got this.
Don't you worry about this, officer.
Don't you worry
I've got
about
this
a thing.
Under control. So that is my fantasy concert lineup.
Oh, that'd be great. Little Feet. Oh, man. Mine would be, well, I mean, I'd want to kind of maybe throw in, I mean, it's kind of a cop-out, but Jerry Band.
Someone called my name, you know, I turned around to see it was midnight in the mission. Bells were not for me. Come again. Walking along in the mission in the rain. Come again. Walking along in the mission in the rain.
I think Jerry Band's great. I love Jerry Band.
I was always kind of more of a Jerry guy overall, but Jerry Band would be one of them. And then, of course, the Dead.
Yeah.
My third band, though, is because the Dead have been around for so long, they have decades of different music styles to pick. So my other band I would catch, and I would go to a specific night, I think it was the 93 show at the Metro, where had I left 2 minutes earlier, I would have avoided Johnny, JP, who pulled in with two girls when I was going to meet two girls at the Metro for free tickets to the Smashing Pumpkins.
Ooh.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean the concert is uploaded on YouTube now, but I really wanted to be at that show.
I saw the Pumpkins maybe 2017, 2018, somewhere in that neighborhood, and I thought they were fantastic. My brother-in-law just saw them. I think they played Milwaukee last week or the week before, and he said they were pretty flat. So I don't know if they're any good now, but when I saw them, they were fantastic.
Was it because they were in the opening slot?
With, I don't know.
The,
I think it was the Green Day.
Yeah, they're only
Green
playing
Day
like
concert.
An hour.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen them a few times, and more importantly, tons of their shows are on archive.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, I've listened to hundreds of their shows. So.
Nick and I have been doing a thing where if there's a band or an album that you want to put, you know, above everything else, put in the Pantheon. And when we did our Smashing Pumpkins episode, which is still available, folks, please go listen to it if you haven't already. He asked me if I thought Gish should be in the Pantheon. And we had just sort of started that concept. My answer now is 100%. Mm. I absolutely love that album.
I think you could take Gish and even Siamese Dream and kind of meld them together almost as like a double album in a weird way. There's obviously separation between them, but a lot of those songs, those two albums are, that was what I was cranking and wanting to hear in 93, 94 before Melancholy and all that.
All right, that brings us to my number two. My number two, I am going with Althea.
Oh.
I told Althea the treasury. She's tearing me limb from limb. Althea told me, no, cool down, boy. Settle back, easy, Jim.
John Boy's, that was his ticket in. Mayer heard Althea, I guess, and he was like, what is this?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he caught it on, like, Sirius. And
I heard that Al Franken's favorite, well, at least his favorite solo is from an Althea, like a version of Althea. I don't know that it's his favorite song, but he's a big head.
Yeah, Al, I have actually seen him where talk about Althea, and I'm like, no, are we talking about the, you know, 78 or the 82? Mm-hmm. He'll get really deep.
He knows, he can go into the weeds.
Yeah, he gets really deep.
Super chill groove that kind of, you know, it, as he starts up with that opening, it's just great. It just flows. Again, another Robert Hunter lyrical song. Music was by Garcia. And there's that weird sort of, not weird, but the repeating guitar riff where he strikes a chord and then slides it down. Yeah, oh, it's just great. It's great. I think it's so simple, but it's super cool. There's a bass storyline of the lyrics. If you read them, it's like the singer or author wants to get out of their relationship with Althea. You know, he says, I was born to be a bachelor.
Yep.
And she agrees. Althea told me, okay, that's fine. And then he regrets it. So now I'm trying to catch her. It's great. There's a great lyrical comment on the Dead's website, dead.net. There's a guy named David Dodd who does a lot of, like, song interpretation for the Dead. He comments on the lyric, can't talk to you without talking to me. And he thinks each word we say is something we ourselves might need to hear. That is some deep shit.
Yeah.
And I like that. Right? If I'm preaching you advice, I might actually just be talking to myself or should be listening to myself as I'm talking to you.
And the great thing about the first thing you mentioned, you know, oh, I don't want to be with you. All right, well, then get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I fucked up.
Fuck.
That's like, how many songs? I showed her, buddy guy, you know, like.
Right.
You know, there's hundreds of songs about that, and it's through history that's happened.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the great part. It just, it's very humanistic. It's easy to understand.
Yeah.
And at some point in your life, you're going to go, oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, all right. Oops.
Right.
So what does that make me? Number two?
That is your number two.
Broke Down Palace.
There you were, my honey.
I really like that one. It's a tough one though. I mean, it could almost be number one. It's maybe, I guess it's like 1B. Skip two, go to 1B.
You can do that. You can do that. 1A and 1B.
Yeah. You know, it's the bumper sticker line, but mama, mama, many worlds I've come since I first left home. Like, what a unbelievably targeted, succinct, whatever. Like, what a great life type.
Great message.
Message, yeah. Like, whoa. And it could be anything. Anything could have happened to you. And that particular line just is, yeah, it's like, it's the bumper sticker, but it's just, yeah, it's truth.
Sure. How many times have you seen them play that live? Do you know?
No. I've never saw. Oh, I should song count or something.
Yeah.
I could probably. I'm sure I can. I'll get one of my devs to put a little program together.
Well, you can use the same algorithm that Universal Music is using to find our shit out. So just ask them for it. And you can comb through your collection.
I did just pull my dead bass out, actually, just like earlier today.
So is that like a whole system that you have for sharing the music with, like, people worldwide? You just catalog what you've got and then put it out there?
I stopped trading tapes a long time ago.
Isn't it all digital?
Out there now. As long as our archive stays up, we're good. And I do know people who have pulled everything off of archive and have it sitting on, you know, terabyte drives. Because if archive downloaded everything, so that way, if it ever does go away, at least we kind of,
right,
there's always going to be a couple people. But also, I mean, we all have our tapes. Like I say, I got like 1,000 discs I'm going through it at the house of all different shit. But the taping part, like, I remember my dad doing it. I remember my dad going with my dad to Rolling Stone Records, buying like.
I just brought my kids there for the first time.
It's iconic. A couple days ago. Yeah,
it's great. It's like, by the way, what they have in decoration from the ceiling now is all CDs because they can't fucking sell them. So they just put them on strings, and then they've got like an oscillating fan. Yeah. So they're all just sort of spinning around. Like, it's a great way to use all that shit you're not going to sell, because who's buying CDs?
What are they selling in there? Shirts?
Vinyl.
Oh, vinyl.
Vinyl. They're selling shirts, posters.
Okay.
They do sell some CDs. I mean, I guess there's someone that's holding out and being like, this medium's coming back.
8-tracks, dude. 8-tracks all the way.
I guess cassettes are making a weird comeback. I just heard that recently, and I don't get that at all. Because, yes, portability is better, but your sound quality is shite. And with an album, you can go, I don't want to hear the first 3 tracks, I want to hear the 4th track, pick it up and see where the track starts and drop it on there. With the cassette, you had to press fast forward. Fuck that.
Yeah. Unless you had like the seek, some had a little beep or something. Yes. And seek for you.
Those were wealthy people.
Well, yeah, you had the Onyx or whatever it was called.
All right, that brings me to my number one. You right there?
Sorry, I swallowed a small giraffe.
But the giraffe was happy. All right, my number one, I'm going with Scarlet Begonias.
Oh.
Bouncy, poppy, bubbly tune. Very feel good.
The rocker.
Yeah, right? Kind of a reggae-esque breakdown in the middle. Super fun to sing along with live.
Yeah.
Crowd gets into it, and it's just really, it's just fun. And it's, there's also a solo in there, like that first guitar solo. Mm-hmm. The setup for it is just like, as they roll out of that chorus, you're like, oh yeah, guitar solo. Like, it doesn't matter what he's playing, it just feels like the right kind of boom, there goes the solo. You're like, yeah.
This was meant to be here.
This is meant to be right here.
Yeah.
I like the lyrics a lot. Once in a while you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Pay attention, you might see something you weren't supposed to.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines is strangers stopping strangers just to shake their hand.
Yeah.
Very cool line, and there was actually, we had t-shirts made in college for a party that had that on there with the dead skeleton in a Memorex chair, and that's what we had printed underneath it. Like, it was a cool concept, and that idea of, hey man, I don't know you, but let's shake your hand.
The greatest thing I like about it is if I'm out and was at REI like a month ago and just picking up a pair of shoes or whatever, and I got a Masters cap on, but you know, it's the Masters logo.
Yeah.
But instead of the guy or whatever, it's the dancing bear holding the flag, right? And some dude next to me he's got a Jerry shirt on. I'm just like, oh, hey, what's up? And next thing you know, we're talking for 5 minutes in line.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that stranger stopping strangers. Like, you can talk to anybody in public, but like, if you see somebody with like dead thing happening or something, like, they're automatically like,
you know, that you can approach them without
automatically
being vilified or like, oh, this guy's weird. Like, no, man, hey, you got a dead thing going?
Yeah.
Like, let's talk.
All the time I will approach people, or people will approach me if they... I'm always in a fucking t-shirt because I'm a degenerate 14-year-old still.
And for the audience, he is wearing a polo shirt with the dead logo over the left breast. And it is sharp.
It's a collared shirt.
It is a collared shirt. Ergo, polo.
Well, oh, yeah.
Unless you know of a collarless polo. Sorry.
That's more of a Henley. Doug Henley.
We've already talked about Don Henley on this podcast.
Oh. I was going with Doug. Wasn't he like the magician?
All right. That brings us to your number one. What you got?
It's Always Playing. The band never played it. They just kind of tapped into it. Dark Star.
Clouds of delusion. Shall we go, you and I, while we can?
I suspected this might be your number one.
I really like being out there. I like not being sure of what's going on. You know, like, I like when I'm listening to something or really into it, or I like that aspect in the music, for especially Dark Star, because it's the improvisational jump off point for cosmic whatever,
right?
So that's why I love a Dark Star, like something really out there, you know. And like, I think it was a Portland show or something, and playing it like at the beach, and like my sister, another sister, freaking out a bit, like, you gotta turn this off, it's too heavy, I can't handle it. But I'm like, no, this is what we need, you know? I love it being completely out there. That's what I want. I don't know about being spun necessarily, but I like just kind of dancing or tiptoeing through the minefield or something. I don't want, at this point in my life, I don't want anything like normal or predictable. So listen, and still to this day, like, you can listen to different Dark Stars and get completely different vibes off of them. That's the best part of it. So Dark Star is my jam.
It's a very absorbing song. Like, it kind of soaks you up like a sponge.
Yeah, I love Dark Star. So throwing El Paso in the middle there, and I'm all good.
There we go. All right, that brings us to our most hated. So I'm gonna start this off, and this is probably not gonna be super popular with the deep deadheads, and we'll see what your reaction is here. Drums in Space never landed on me. Never did. That was always the opportunity to go hit the head, refresh a beer, whatever. Now, I will caveat that with, I've never seen anything like what we saw in Vegas at the Sphere for Drums in Space, which had haptic feedback in the seats, along with an amazing video display, and Mickey Hart just absolutely crushing it. I was really impressed with it, and I asked myself at that point, like, wow, maybe I should have actually stuck around and paid attention to some Drums in Space versus going to the bathroom and grabbing a beer.
I'm going to give you about a 25-second head start. And then?
The throwing axe will hit me in the back of the head.
Drums in Space, man, I'm a kind of a Mickey guy. In high school, I remember taking silkscreen class, and taking Mickey off of Relics magazine and superimposing my face onto him playing the drum and then printing it on a shirt.
All right, what is your most hated stuff? I've got more on that list. I don't have and none of mine are really detesting, but and give me something. Give me something you don't like.
Something I don't like is, and I never did really like, but I mentioned earlier, I fought the law. A fan of them playing I Fought the Law.
Yeah.
Did not like it at all. But, you know, hey, whatever. And it's just, you know, they always put it at the end when maybe you want one less rocker to get out, and they put that in because it was always like maybe it's a message from the band to be cool because security's assholes out there. Whatever.
Right.
Whatever. I Fought the Law, not a fan of it, but it's not one of their songs per se. So I don't think. Yeah, another song I was never a huge fan of, although I don't think they ever really nailed it live. There's a couple decent parts in some versions, but Passenger. People say, "Whoa, burning. Ashes
standing. Two fires burning. Inside down. Walls alarm, the only game in town.
Never a big Passenger guy.
I don't know that I know that.
That's a Donna song. It's got some cool kind of like little slide guitar parts, but it feels kind of lazy in a weird way to me.
Yeah.
And also, I guess since I only had one, Drums in Space would have been my honorable mention, number two, by the way. Just in general.
Just in general?
Yeah. Because gotcha. Again, the anything can happen in improvisational
sure.
part of it. Yeah. Plus, Mickey on the Beam is... something to.
And I do appreciate that, you know, especially after seeing what I just saw, but the ability to actually drain my bladder and refresh my beverage seemed like a great parachute out moment. But that's also why I don't consider myself a deadhead. I've never considered myself a deadhead. I'm a fan of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You are a deadhead. I'm not a deadhead. That's a distinction that I think needs to be made for... at least for me, you feel the need to lay that out there. To call yourself a deadhead is something that's next level. And this is not pejorative. This is actually a compliment from me. Like, to be able to say you're a deadhead, there's a lifestyle, there's an approach that you have with people, with concerts, with whatever, that I really dig.
I think I'm a son of a deadhead.
Honestly, that's all right.
Yeah.
I think you can call yourself one.
I don't wear flannel shirts nearly as much as my dad, so.
I'll throw in two quick, because we are getting a little long here. Oh, my goodness. Hey, look.
No birthday here.
Look who just walked in.
I saw that fucking car with the tripping tube license plate on, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. You're trying to steal my fucking act?
You're worthless, pal.
Ladies and gentlemen. Our fearless...
what are we doing, reggae? Yeah.
would you prank call?
Hold up. Let me grab you a chair.
What's going on here, boys?
Oh, we was just talking.
How far along are we?
We're through.
We're just at the most hated.
Oh, wonderful.
I got a list. Time. Perfect time for you.
This was not a protest. This was just a scheduling thing. I'm sure you guys went over it. Carrick's not trying to kick me out.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I'm trying to kick him out.
Yeah. We're doing this for both.
You better have a passport and be on your way to Malta. 1 week, buddy.
I'm gone in a week, baby. I'm there in a week.
All right.
He's got his dead golf shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's great, isn't it? You want some tequila, by the way?
No. Like, you've had enough.
I say you boys have had enough.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just going to be here. I'm only here as a courtesy to Keurig.
Just a presence in the room. The audience just went, oh, God, thank you. Some comedic fucking relief.
Somebody's here. Finally.
Were you getting deep into it?
No.
I don't know.
I'm just much more stiff than you are.
And
I meant that in a variety of ways.
I can feel that. Did we go over how Jerry lost his finger?
No.
Okay. Fantastic.
Terrible margarita accident.
Is that it? I didn't even look that up. I mean, I knew he was missing a finger, but I figured like a farm accident or something.
Yeah. He's snipping clues too close to the pod.
The tractor.
Hand me that tequila, will you?
He got bottles all over the place.
Fuck yeah, that's Jesus. I offered him an option. He had scotch or tequila.
Well, it's for Friday tequila night.
Hey, why not, maybe?
Give that a snort.
That's it's delicious.
It's the Casamigos.
No, Jerry's a big scuba guy, right?
No.
It's a shark attack.
That's just not true.
Get the fuck out of here.
Shark attack.
Always a shark attack.
Okay, fine. Took off one little nip of his finger.
Barely got him as he was going to...
Oh, Jesus, I'm high already. No, really,
Jerry was so kind, he was missing one middle finger.
All right,
let's
moving
on. Let's move on.
We are at our coolest 4 seconds. I like the handoff between the band and the crowd when they do Not Fade Away.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I love that part. They did that at one of the Sphere shows, and they were like closing with it as they were like coming in. And I was like, how is this going to work? Because they do that commercial thing. You know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is weird. But so I didn't get that part of it at the Sphere. But yeah, that is a great section. I mean, I can remember going long and loud. And then when they come back out and continue it, and not just for a bar or two, but like lay into it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, those were the best.
Yeah.
See, Nick, you just don't get it.
No, I will say this.
You're going to have to spit your gum onto this piece of paper before the microphone picks up your chawing.
So I will say
I run a tight fucking ship here.
Because that buddy that has a favorite band, and you are like identified with the Grateful Dead. You and the Grateful Dead are like inseparable ever since I've known you for the last 35 years or so.
That's exactly what I said to start the show.
However,
he did ask permission if he could do that, by the way.
Oh, which is very kind of him.
Yeah.
I'm a fine guest.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
He's a great guy. But I will say this about him, is that he never jammed it down your throat.
No.
Right? He never was like, no, you have to listen to this. You have to listen. You know, he's never like me with Def Leppard. It's like, oh, we're putting this on as soon as we jump in the car. It's going to be stereo all the way. You never jammed it down anybody's throat. And you're just like, you're like the perfect deadhead. It's like, hey, man, it's all groovy.
If you
like
listen.
If you want to listen, I'll talk to you about it for forever. But I'm not going to jam it down your throat. And that's what I always like found refreshing about you. It's like, that was your thing. And that's always been your thing.
Yep.
And that's what makes you beautiful, man.
Thank you, baby.
You are beautiful. All right. Coolest 4 seconds. What you got?
There is a section. You'll have to look it up and pull it. And it's not 4 seconds.
Actually, you're going to look it up and pull it.
All right,
because either I'm going to find the song versions, live versions, or you can. And I think you can find much better live versions.
Well, it's a specific one. So in 77 is obviously one of their pinnacle years. They were just ripping it up. There is the show at Indiana University, 1030 or 1031, 77. They play a Tennessee Jed that is probably my favorite. But he plays like, I think it's a waltz, basically. It's like you could waltz to this part. And the solo that rolls through the second half of that song is just, it's so great with some like triplet reverse things and moving around, and it's just, it's got a beautiful, like a waltzy dance vibe. And that's the other thing I like in general about them too, is like, I like when I listen to them and the music's right, I'm the hand outside the window.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of
yeah, what a great way to put that.
Yeah.
And that's what I really love.
The hand outside the window is thinking of his hand outside a car window where you make a wave with the air rolling over it. They couldn't see your visual. Well, we saw it.
This is not on YouTube?
This is, wait, you told me that camera was for...
That's for something
that's
else.
Personal use.
That's for later. So can I ask you a question? Because like I've always wondered, like, you have an encyclopedia knowledge of like every single fucking show they've ever played.
No.
Or at least to my mind.
Okay.
Is it like, is that the journey that like you're on with them? It's like, oh, I've listened to all these shows in 77 and I noticed like they're just working things out. And all of a sudden, boom, on Halloween night, 1977 in Indiana University, man, it all just came together for me as a listener. Is that kind of a journey that you're on with Dead?
Kinda, yeah. I get what you're getting at. Like, you listen to a tour because, like, you'd want to be there on tour and you want to go to every show
because
they're all going to be something, you know, different or weird or something's going to happen. I like to just bounce around, though, and I haven't listened to everything, but I mean, I've listened to quite a bit. Big fan of Primal Dead, like early Dead, crazy psychedelic stuff, you know, and then...
Did you ever like the late 80s Dead?
Yeah, like 90, 91.
Touch of Grey stuff?
Touch of Grey was... I thought it had some great songs.
I remember
songs
where
on
I was when that came out.
Victim or the Crime?
What fixation feeds this fever? As the full moon pales and climbs. Am I living truth for an deceiver? Am I the victim or the crime? Am I the victim or the crime? Am I the victim or the crime? Or the crime?
That's another later 80s song that's, I don't know, I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I...
You're not a fan.
No, it's an okay song.
He's not a fan.
Do they ever pull that shit out in concert? Like, you'll never hear Touch of Grey at the Spear.
I don't know if they played that or not. You can look that up on the stats, but I they've played it. I mean, Denton
I've seen it live
sure
a few times. Touch of Grey
I've
was,
seen Touch of Grey
Touch
live,
of Grey is... Sure. I like Touch of Grey.
I was given kerosene. Kid can't read at 17. Words he knows are all obscene. It's all right.
I think it was a top 40, wasn't it?
I think it was their only. I remember where it was when it came out on MTV that night.
It came out on MTV?
Yeah, well, they did.
How did I miss that?
With the video.
They had a video?
Big video for it, and it was a big premiere at night. I was at...
Okay, I do remember something like that. It's like, yeah, for the first time ever, Grateful Dead produced a video, not just a concert.
It was pretty cool. The whole skeleton. I remember talking to my dad on the phone, like, are you watching this? Yeah, this is cool. Oh, wow, hey, now they're humans.
Well, I don't have to ask you, would you see them if they came around again? Because I know the answer, and I know my answer, and the answer is yes, because we both fucking flew to Vegas, you twice, to see them when they came around again.
Did that ruin it for you?
What?
I mean, are you ruined for Wrigley Field Dead now for the Sphere? Or
They're done touring them. They're two more years at the Sphere, finished. And that's it.
Yeah.
Or who knows after that, maybe...
Did I hear correctly those guys, each one of them cleared 25 mil for stint at the Sphere?
I heard that from him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they fucking cleaned up on that. I don't know.
It's crazy, man.
It's good money, though.
Fuck yeah.
Why not?
By the way, you're not allowed to use his name. We realize that he might be an executive in the company, and there has been admissions
employee number
of...
Six.
Yes, he is.
Eight.
Employee number eight. Sorry.
It's the lucky number, too.
All right. Who's the MVP here?
Oh.
I say heroin did not help them. I think it badly hindered them. I'm going with the sort of lack of constriction and constraint around taping. that did nothing but bolster their audience, build their crowd. I saw them labeled as like one of the lower performing, financially performing bands commercially, but relative to concerts, they have crushed it year after year after year, and it's because of the taping.
Bobby always says that he thinks he's been on stage more than anybody else in history.
Nick and I talked about...
We had the numbers, and they were up there.
Yeah,
they're, I mean, Beach Boys.
Yeah, there's like some other guys
like 12,000 shows or some
shit like
that.
Maybe King, like 300 a year or something.
Yeah, the Stones.
But definitely on the Mount Rushmore touring bands, for sure.
So who's your MVP?
Well, in a weird way, I kind of want to say Uncle Bobo.
Do I know Uncle Bobo?
Mr. Graham. Bill Graham.
The
production guy, producer. Yes. He had the Fillmore and all those different venues and stuff. You know, he really gave them exposure and gave them somewhere to be and play, and that helped them learn how to be a band.
Kind of like where the Beatles were at in Germany. They got their trade in one place and get comfortable with the... He also let the house do the psychedelic movies and everything, like, and that was kind of like what drew the audience in time after time after time again, too, I would assume.
The lighting shows and all that stuff, yeah.
All right, rankings. Skill, where do you put them?
Well, I mean, I probably get my card burned if I don't see a 5. Phil is by far, I think, the best musician. He's got the musical chops. He's like the composer guy. The thing about Bobby, like if you watch the Lost movie, the 1970 tour in Europe, like where they're trying to teach Bob how to play the songs and stuff, and it's like you could see Phil and Jerry just like, Jesus, fuck, kid, get it together. You know, like it's pulling teeth to get him to learn these things. Yeah. Jerry is... Your brother always talks about the scale, you know, that he...
The pentaton.
The Mexicali or whatever, the Mexicali scale.
Or the Mexicali scale.
The Mexicali.
We might edit that.
But he, it's not that he can play... He's playing something so technically ridiculous. He's playing something that you wouldn't think to play.
Right.
Honestly, I hit him at a 2.
The look of disapproval.
The deadpan.
You know, that's just like your opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Phil Lesh was a decent bassist. Mickey Hart was a decent drummer. Jerry Garcia, I opened the show saying he's in my top 10 favorite guitarists as a style, not as like a shredder or from a talent standpoint, but... He is in my top 10 from a style. I like the way he noodles, but he fucking noodles.
You just said it right there. His style, and he's a stylist. He creates. He's not a shredder. Shredders destroy. He leaves nothing behind. Just pieces. You can't build anything with
Yes.
That.
All right, Image. Image, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I'm at a 2.2. These guys weren't really cool.
No.
They weren't cool.
They look like my dad and his friends.
Yes. Yes. Jerry Garcia was a fat heroin addict. You don't see a lot of those out there, Artie Lang aside. The long hair hippie look was cool. I bet they were probably
Bobby
pretty
is
cool
young
at
boy
the time.
Was,
Bob Weir was a handsome guy. He landed a lot of tail.
Oh, sure. But then after that, yeah, they're that's the thing, though. It's not about that. They're not Kiss.
Mm-mm.
You know?
I don't think they want to be in
yeah
it.
No.
What if they were?
Jerry with a cape.
I was made for loving
wings.
You.
He comes out in dragon boots and bat wings. And Bob is in the Starman. Yeah.
Catalog. What do you got him as for a catalog? I put him at a 4.
Catalog, I would say, again, like a 5. I mean, if you want something specific, you can find it. You just have to hunt for it. Because there's so many live shows. You want some really crazy Zydeco or something kind of vibes, you can find some them with the Neville Brothers playing a show or something. You can find lots of different stuff within there. So
yeah,
anything you want.
All right, that wraps our dead episode. Thank you. Employee number 6, we're calling you.
You know what I just fucking realized? This motherfucker has no notes.
He's doing it off his phone.
No, I these are my scrawlings from last night's...
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't think he's got any fucking notes. He certainly didn't look at it.
These have
talking.
Nothing to do with the yeah. show. These are random thoughts.
You better delete
while...
those. Delete those.
Prank call. Prank call.
Yeah, you don't... yeah.
They're putting shit in the water, man.
The frogs, dude. The frogs.
Thank you, employee number 8.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Night? Oh, fuck. Yeah.